今天的经文是诗篇第119篇。
Today's passage is from Psalm 119.
153到160节。
153 to 160.
请大家一同起立，我们来读神的话。
Please all rise, let's read God's word together.
中英文一起来读。
Let's read both in English and in Chinese together.
求你看顾我的苦难，搭救我，因我不忘记你的律法。求你为我辩去，救赎我，照你的话将我救活。救恩远离恶人，因为他们不寻求你的律例。耶和华，你的慈悲本为大，求你照你的典章将我救活。逼迫我的抵挡我的很多，我却没有偏离你的法度。我看见奸恶的人就剩憎恶，因为他们不遵守你的话。你看我怎样爱你的圣旨，耶和华，求你照你的慈爱将我救活。你画的总纲是真实，你一切公义的典章是永远长存。这是神的话。
This is the word of God.
圣灵对众教会所说的话，凡有耳可听的都应当听。
Everyone who has ears, let him hear.
请坐。
Please all seated.
我们刚读的这段经文是诗篇119篇22段的第20段。
So what we just read is the 20th octave of the 22. 20th of the 22 octaves in Psalm 119.
这意味着我们学习的诗篇119篇就快要结束了。
Which also means that we are nearing the end of our study of Psalm 119.
而这诗篇119篇我们知道是全圣经最长的一章。
And we know this chapter is the longest chapter in the whole Bible.
它就好像圣经整本圣经的缩影一样。
It is like the miniature of the whole Bible.
因为它的重点就是神的话。
Because Its focus is the word of God.
所以它可以让我们很容易的穿进圣经其他的部分。
But, so it helps, it allows us to segue to rest of the Bible.
所以可能我们当中有些人还记得当初我用我已故一位教授的一个比喻。
Some of you may still remember the analogy that I borrowed from my late professor.
就是在我刚开始119篇的时候，我所提出来的。
So I shared that analogy in the beginning of our study of Psalm 119.
就是诗篇119篇就好像一个大楼里面的一个大厅。
So this chapter is like a hall within a building.
这个大的宴会厅里面呢，就是有很多的小门可以通往大楼的其他部分。
And this hall has many doors connecting to the rest of the building.
所以这个大楼就是像圣经一样。
So this building is like the Bible.
然后这个大宴会厅就是诗篇119篇。
And this banquet hall is Psalm 119.
然后这个比喻其他的部分呢，就是说这个大厅里面放着22张桌子。
And so the rest of the analogy is that there are 22 tables within this hall.
就是代表诗篇119篇里面的22段一样。
And that means the 22 octaves in this chapter.
然后每一张桌子都坐着八个人。
And there are 8 people, 8 guests sitting at this table.
他们的last name, 他们的姓名呢是同一个英文字母开始。
So every table has 8 people, they all have the last names with the same starting letter.
因为这诗篇119篇的22段呢，每一段都是用同一个希伯来字母来开始的。
So because these two 22 octaves actually use the same Hebrew letter.
而希伯来文有22个字母。
And there are 22 alphabets of Hebrew.
所以每一段的八行呢，就代表八个客人坐在那个桌子上。
So every octave has 8 verses, meaning almost like 8 guests sitting at that table.
所以他们在这样桌上的谈论呢，就是很自然的，就是讲到这个就是这一段经文里面所谈论的。
So naturally, their conversation around the table is the content of that octave.
然后我把这个概念呢，这个比喻呢，把它发挥起来。
But if I take that analogy further,
就是说这个内容我们可以分成三大类。
So the content of their conversation octave can be categorized in 3 ways.
就是用英文字母 God 来代表。
We can use the acronym God.
这个 God 三个字母 G O D.
The 3 letters G O D.
然后这个 G 是代表神。
G represents God.
它所代表的就是它所指的就是这个我们对神的认识。
It refers to the knowledge of God.
就是神在圣经里面向我们所启示的。
It refers to the revelation God have for us in the Bible.
所以我们可以很清楚的看到，在每一段里面呢，就是表彰出神的某一个属性。
So we can see every octave shows one particular attribute of God.
So 有些属性比较明显，有些属性没有那么明显。
There are attributes more explicit than others.
然后第二个字母就是 O， 就是代表ordeals， 就是代表磨练。
And the second letter O stands for ordeal.
就是每一位信徒在生活上所面对的这些磨练。
And that refers to the challenge that every believer is going to run into in their lives.
我们也看到在每一段里面呢，都会看到信徒都有不同的要面对不同的磨练。
Because in every active, we see the ordeal, different challenges that believers are going to face.
有些更加危险，更有挑战性；有些比较柔和一点。
There are more challenging, and then some are easier.
最后一个这个 D 就是代表就是 delight， 就是我们的喜乐，我们的我们的喜乐。
And the last letter D stands for delight.
就是诗人在借着神的话语对神所发出的那种喜乐。
And that's the delight that people of God express toward him.
所以我们可以很明显的看到，在每一段里面，诗人都表达出他们对神的话语的那种喜乐。
So in every ordeal, we see the kind of delight those people in every ordeal express.
多么的爱慕神，就是代表神的话语，就是代表神。
Their desire, their love for God's word, and which is God.
所以我们在把这三个种类联合起来的时候，
So if when we connect these three categories,
我们要表达出一个很独特的基督徒的生命观。
We want to express a very unique Christian worldview.
就是对每个信徒来说，神的话语当成为我们的这个支撑。
So for every Christian, God's word sustains us.
所以以至于当生活的磨练临到我们的时候，
So when the life challenges come upon us,
这个对神的认识呢就会托住我们给我们喜乐。
The word of God is going to sustain us and give us joy.
以至于我们能够生出对神的顺服和坚持。
So that we will have obedience and endurance in life.
所以在这段经文里面，这三个分类非常的清楚。
So in this octave, these three categories are very explicit.
首先，我们要看到神的那种怜悯的属性。
First of all, we want to see the attribute of God in mercy.
就是我们称作怜悯的主。
That's why we say He is the merciful God.
然后我们再看第二方面，我们再看到对我们对面对这些逼迫我们压迫抵挡我们的这些人，我们的立场是怎么样。
And we're going to see our own stands when we are facing the persecutions.
就是在逼迫之下我们不偏离。
That's why we're going to look at unswerving under persecution.
到最后我们表达我们对神的话语的爱慕。
And lastly, we're going to see loving God's word.
以至于我们的灵魂得到复兴。
And that's we will see the revival of our soul.
好，我们开始的时候，我们来看第一个怜悯的主。
So that's come to see the merciful Lord.
我可以确定，到现在我们大部分人都听到过这样的一个问题。
I'm almost certain that all of you have heard people ask this question.
如果神是怜悯的
，If God is merciful,
为什么这个世界上有那么多的死亡？因为这个天灾所带来的死亡
，Why are still death and suffering?
为什么有那么多疾病所带来的死亡，包括这个新冠病肺炎一样。
Why are there still so many diseases, including COVID-19?
还有为什么那么多的这些邪恶的事带来死亡？好像昨天刚刚发生的一个12小时里面有三次的这个枪杀案。
And why there are still evil deeds like the past 12 hours? There's 3 shootings.
这些都是神可以阻止的。如果神怜悯，他为什么不阻止呢
？Those seems like things, incidents that God can prevent.
所以很明显的，神没有阻止，所以发生了。
But apparently hidden, so those things happen.
所以呢，有很多宝贵的生命。
So there are so many precious lives.
那么多很好的人都因为这样丧命。
There are so many good people die because of that.
很可能我们对这些询问者没有一个很满意的答案。
maybe we may not have a very satisfactory answer to those questions.
可是有一些比较自由派的人，他们自称是基督徒，他们却产生了一个很听起来很明智的答案。
But there are some liberal Christians, they may seem to have an answer to it.
可是当他们做出这样的答案的时候呢，他们把这位真神改变成一个懦弱的神。
But if you hear what their explanation is, they almost describe this God as a weak God.
虽然看起来这神是很有怜悯，可是他没有能力。
Though this God is merciful, he does not have power.
因为他们的答案是神只能做那些能做的事。
Their viewpoint is that God can only do what he can.
神只能做那些能做到的事。
God is only can only do what he is able to.
他们就是这样来给神的大能、全能下定义。
And that's how they define God's almightiness.
换句话说，一个全能的神，当然如果他是怜悯的话，当然他可以阻止邪恶的发生。
If God is almighty and he is merciful, he can stop things from happening.
所以这隐含着他没有这个能力。
And they're implying God does not have that power.
难道这就是我们对神的怜悯的理解吗？
And is that how we define God's mercy?
断然不是。
Absolutely not.
因为我们不能够把神的一个属性跟其他的属性隔离起来。
Because we can't isolate God's attribute of mercy from all his other attributes.
因为一方面神的怜悯会让他用他的大能去采取需要做的行动。
So, because in God's mercy, he's going to use his powers to do what he does.
比如说拯救人脱离苦难。
For example, he saves people from their affliction.
可是另一方面神也有他的智慧。
But on the other hand, God has his own wisdom.
他要用那些我们所不明白不理解的方式来拯救一些人。
God is going to save some people in a way that doesn't seem that we can understand.
而因为这样他显示了他的怜悯。
And through that, he shows his mercy.
因为我们的神说，我的意念非同你们的意念。
Because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
我的道路非同你们的道路。
Neither are your ways my ways.
所以在圣经里面，神第一次介绍他自己是怜悯的神。
So when the first time we see in the Bible, God introduced himself as a merciful Lord.
就是当以色列人他们铸了一个金牛犊。
Is when the Israelites made a golden calf.
然后去跪拜这个金牛犊。
And they worship bow down to this calf.
之前才两章之前，两章圣经的章节之前，他们才对神保证说，耶和华所吩咐的，我们都必遵行。
Ironically, two chapters before that, they promised to God they're going to obey what He says.
这是他们以神所立的约。
And that's the covenant that they had.
所以现在他们违背了这个约。
And now they violated that covenant.
所以他们得死。
And therefore they have to die.
可是摩西替他们求情。
But Moses interceded for them.
所以在32章他们犯罪拜金牛犊。
So in chapter 32, they worship and bow down to this golden calf.
33章摩西替他们求情。
In chapter 33, Moses interceded for them.
34章的时候，出埃及记34章，神就说耶和华他是耶和华，是有怜悯有恩典的神，不轻易发怒，并有丰盛的慈爱和诚实，为千万人存留慈爱，赦免罪孽过犯和罪恶，万不以有罪的为无罪，必追讨他们的罪，自父及子直到三世代。
But in Exodus 34, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.
前面的那一段第六节，耶和华，耶和华是有怜悯有恩典的神，不轻易发怒，并有丰盛的慈爱和诚实。这一句呢，在旧约圣经重复了好几次。
Verse 6, the Lord is merciful God and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is a verse that was repeated many, many times in the Bible.
都指向一件事。
And that points to one thing.
就是神饶恕过犯、罪恶、罪孽等等。
God forgives sins of the people.
所以除了神的怜悯饶恕过犯，
so in addition to God's forgiveness,
我们另外还看到神的怜悯在动工。
We also see God's mercy at work.
就是神的护理作为。
When He protects people.
这个护理呢？就是用简单的话来表达。
So in simple terms,
就是神就像一个交响乐的指挥一样。
Almost like God is a conductor of an orchestra.
让万事能够凑合起来，来达到神所要达到的目的。
He make all things work for His purpose.
如果我们相信神掌管一切，
so if we trust that God controls everything,
那么我们也必须要相信神掌管这个全宇宙呢，是按照他怜悯的属性。
We must believe that God runs the universe by His will.
比如说，举个例子，在耶稣最后一次和门徒一同用逾越节的晚餐的时候，
For example, if we look at the Last Supper Jesus had with His disciples,
耶稣预言说，他的门徒都要因着他而跌倒。
Jesus foretold that his disciples will fall away because of his death.
当时彼得的反应就是说，众人虽然为你的缘故跌倒，我却永不跌倒。
But the apostle Peter said, though they may fall away because of you, I will never fall away.
可是耶稣强调说，在今天晚上鸡叫之前，你必定要否认我三次。
Jesus told Peter that before the rooster crawled in at that night,Peter would deny him three times.
所以真的几个小时之后，
and certainly enough, a few hours later,
在三个完全没有连关系的陌生人面前，彼得三次否认神，否认耶稣。
Before three totally unrelated strangers, Peter denied Jesus three times.
因为彼得他很决然地说，我不认识那个人。
Peter asserted them, saying that I do not know him.
然后鸡就按照他的每一天的作息，按照他应该做的事，他就做了，他就叫了。
Then rooster did his routine. His routine.
那我们应该怎么想？这三位完全陌生人，完全不认识的陌生人，不是一个，是三个，他们在那边是偶然的吗
？How do we think of these three totally strangers who asked Peter?
绝对不是。
You know, were they there by accident? Definitely not.
如果他们是神所差派的，神为什么要差派这些人来在那边指认彼得呢？
If they were sent by God, why were they there to accuse Peter?
这就是神的护理。
And that's His providence.
就是按照神的怜悯。
By His mercy.
为了要唤醒彼得从他的假自信，从他的自欺自哄。来让他可以唤醒过来。
In order to awake Peter from his self-confidence, his own self-deception.
然后耶稣就充满怜悯的，在复活之后，满有怜悯的把彼得重新换回来。
And after his resurrection, Jesus restored Peter.
所以在149篇的156节，这个诗人的祷告。
So in this Psalm 119, 156, this is the prayer.
他说，耶和华，你的慈悲本为大。
Great is your mercy, O Lord.
接下来他说，求你照你的典章将我救活。
And he follows with, give me life according to your rules.
这是一个认罪的祷告。
It is the prayer of prayer confession.
或者我们也可以称为这是第二次机会的祷告。
Or we can say this is a prayer of second chance.
因为神的怜悯是远远的超过我们的罪恶过犯。
Because God's mercy greatly exceeded our sins.
就像彼得一样，当我们搞乱了我们，然后我们真正悔改的时候，
Just like Peter when we mess up.
他的应许就是要救我们的命，就是要把我们重新的复兴起来。
And when we truly repent, His promise is to give us life by mercifully restoring us.
因为这就是他的怜悯所涵盖的在里面的。
Because that's the coverage of His mercy.
所以希伯来书的作者在希伯来书4章16节鼓励我们。
And therefore, we see the author of Hebrews exhorts us in Hebrews 4:16.
他说，所以我们只管坦然无惧地来到施恩的宝座前，为要得怜惜蒙恩惠，做随时的帮助。
Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
所以我们每一次来临近神的宝座的时候
，So when we come before His throne,
就像在新约圣经里面常常看到的。
Just like what we see in the New Testament.
我们的对神的呼喊就是主啊求你怜悯我。
Our cry to God is that God have mercy on us.
或者可以加上一句主啊求你怜悯我这个罪人。
God have mercy on me as a sinner.
然后我们看第二部分。
Let's look at the second part.
在逼迫之下我们不偏离。
Unswerving under persecution.
所以当我们再继续再进一步看我们的磨练的时候。
So as we look further on our tribulation.
我们继续从神的眼光来看我们的磨练。
And that's how we're going to see the ordeals that, from God's eyes.
很遗憾的就是当人在困难窘迫的情况之下的时候。
So regretfully, a lot of us in, the, or in our ordeals in difficult situations.
常常会说我是在靠某某某某人的怜悯。
We'll say that we are at mercy of someone.
或者是当我们时间紧迫快时间快要完了，我们说我们在时间的怜悯之下。
Or sometimes when we're running out of time, we'll say we're running at time's mercy.
然后有些人也会说农夫都是靠着天气的怜悯。
And we'll also say farmers are working by the mercy of the weather.
真的是这样吗？
Is that really the case?
作为基督徒，我们相信我们是不靠任何人任何东西的怜悯。
As Christians, we know that we're not at the mercy of anyone or anything.
除了神，唯有神。
Except for God and His mercy.
单单是神。
And only His.
所以罗马书第八章三十一节这样告诉我们。
Romans 8:31 says,
神若帮助我们，谁能抵挡我们呢？
If God is for us, who is against us?
所以世人就用这个态度。
So that's the attitude.
在153-154节他这样说
When we see in Psalm 119:153-154
求你看顾我的苦难搭救我因我不忘记你的律法求你为我编屈救赎我照你的话将我救活
Look upon my affliction and rescue me for I do not forget your law Plead my cause and redeem me revive me according to your word
所以诗人呢借着祷告把他的案情呈在神的天庭之上
So through this prayer the psalmist plead to God
为了要排除他所面对的苦难是因为他冒犯了神的律法
He asked God for deliverance because he violated his law
所以他就在这里他强调说我没有忘记你的律法
And he says I do not forget your law
换句话说他所面对的苦难不是咎由自取的。
In other words, the affliction that came upon him is not because of his sin.
他的案情就跟约伯的案情一样。
His case is almost like Job's case.
约伯他遭患难。
Job, when he had affliction.
即便圣经说他是完全正直，敬畏神，远离恶事。
Bible says that he is blameless and righteous man.
所以这个世人他现在是在生向神生上升就是求神的怜悯他
So this psalm is now pleading for mercy before God
就是让神来看一看他所面对的这个苦难
He is having God to look at his case his
然后
affliction
然后拯救他
and deliver him
所以这个看一看是在有一个比较特别的一个意味
So there's like a special meaning of his cry of to plead to God
就好像我们常常说的是神啊你作量作量吧
Consider Okay yes So sometimes we'll say God please consider my case
就是如果神认为他遭患难是合适的
So if we think that the affliction upon us are justifiable
那他就坚持
Then he will persist.
不然的话，求神按照他的时间来拯救他。
Otherwise, deliver us according to your will.
换句话说，他完全的信靠、相信神的判断。
In other words, he fully trusts in God's judgment.
因为神的判断是按照他的属性，他的怜悯。
Because his judgment is by his attributes.
然后下一个祈求也是同样。
And the next plea is similar.
只是这一次不是因为肉体的苦难。
So rather than being afflicted physically,
诗人现在是被诬陷。
Now the psalmist is now wrongly accused.
他所做的是按照他的良心去做，可是别人诬陷他。
He's wrongly accused of something that he did in good conscience.
他可能自己去申冤。
And he wanted to plead his case.
可是他就一直碰钉子。
But he was rejected repeatedly.
所以现在他祈求神来替他替他伸冤。
Now he's pleading to God for his mercy.
就是求你为我辩去。
Please have mercy on me.
救赎我。
And revive me.
所以这照你的话将我救活。
Revive me according to your word.
这是第二次他求神给他再给他一个机会，第二个机会。
This is the second time that he asked God for a second chance.
所以这就为什么我们基督徒非常重要，就是对神的怜悯要有更深厚、更深入的去体会。
This is why Christians need to have a deeper understanding of God's mercy.
首先，我们领受神的怜悯。
First of all, we receive God's mercy.
是因为在耶稣基督里，他饶恕了我们的罪，那就是神的怜悯。
And that's because Jesus Christ already forgave us. That's His mercy.
然后我们就一直存在这个觉悟，就是我们生活的每一部分、每一个时刻、每一个时间段，都是靠着神的怜悯。
And with that understanding, we know that every day we live by His mercy.
可是这并不是说我们不会在生活中不会面对任何的苦难。
And that's not to say that we're not going to have afflictions in life.
因为苦难就是生活的一部分。
Because affliction is part of life.
问题就是在苦难当中我们所问的问题是哪一个。
But the question is, what kind of questions do we ask when we are in affliction?
我们是靠着神的怜悯生活，还是我们靠着其他事情的怜悯生活？
Do we live our life by God's mercy or at the mercy of something else?
所以这件事就是在启示录里面常常冒出来。
And that's what we saw repeatedly in Revelation.
而启示录的最终的结论就是我们生活，或者是说问题的归根究底，就是我们在羔羊的身上找到真正的怜悯。
And the conclusion that we see in Revelation is that we have true mercy from the Lamb.
因为是他用他的血把我们买赎回来的。
Because he redeemed and bought us back by his blood.
所以我们是他的人。
And therefore we are his people.
可能我们是会被别人诬陷。
Maybe we will be wrongly accused.
可能我们会被别人肉身攻击。
Maybe we will be physically assaulted.
可是这些诬陷、这些攻击并不是最终的目的。
But those assault, those attack are not the ultimate goal.
而是按照启示录的观点呢，这些诬陷、这些攻击，只是一个过程罢了。
Those from the viewpoint of Revelation, those are just the process.
终点目标是什么呢
？The goal. What is the goal?
就是让我们向这些逼迫我们的人或者是事情求饶、求怜悯、求帮助。
Is to plead mercy from those.That persecute us.
以至于这些苦难可以过去。
Therefore, those afflictions can come to pass.
而事实上，这些都不会过去的，除了耶稣基督再来才结束。
But we know in reality, those afflictions would not pass until Jesus Christ returns.
因为另外一种甚至更大的苦难会再临到我们。
Because we know there are even after certain affliction, we know there is a greater one coming.
所以我们会察觉到我们对这个压迫我们的东西呢，或者是人呢，越来越加的顺服，越来越加的跪下去。
So we know as we experience those affliction, we will bow down before God for mercy.
就是这样的一个恶性循环，让我们越加深，越陷越深。
We will bow down to other things instead of seeking for God's mercy, and that's a vicious cycle that got us deeper and deeper.
很明显的一个例子就是，比如说一个人上瘾的话。
So, for example, if someone has a drug addiction,
any addiction, 就是一个上瘾，无论是毒品或者是玩电视游戏机的任何的一个上瘾呢，都是一种压迫我们的东西，要让我们成为他的奴仆。
any kind of addiction is something that kind of persecute us and then try to lure us into something deeper.
然后当我们上瘾了之后，我们抽回来的时候，比如说那个上瘾人上瘾的时候那种痛苦呢，就是为了要让我们把我们远离神。
And those kind of addiction is to lure us away from God.
因为当比如说毒品上瘾的时候，在那个时候，无论即便是基督徒，他不会向神求怜悯，他会求向毒品求怜悯。
Taking drug addiction is an example. When someone has that addiction, he wouldn't seek God's mercy. He would seek the mercy of the drug.
而且每一次都会增加他的剂量。
And every time when he has that urge, he's going to look for more.
一直到最后过量。
Until he's overdosed.
所以诗篇119篇的157节告诉我们
Therefore Psalm 119:157 tells us
他说逼迫我的抵挡我的很多我却没有偏离你的法度
Many are my persecutors and my adversaries but I do not swerve from your testimonies
确实这是一个很严肃的一个提醒
Indeed this is a serious reminder
就是我们的敌人撒旦和他的爪牙会用许许多多东西来压迫我们
Satan and his minionsare going to use many ways to oppress us.
目的就是要我们妥协我们的信仰
to make us compromise our faith.
因为我们为了要得到松懈，为了要得到解脱，我们很容易什么条件我们都要妥协。
Because when we are in that kind of addiction, in that kind of affliction, we will look for relaxation at any cost.
所以启示录就鼓励我们要做得胜者。
Therefore, the book of Revelation exhorts us to be conquerors.
得胜者的定义就是我们要抓紧坚持我们的信心。
And what is conqueror? Conqueror is defined by holding fast to our faith.
就是毫不偏离地站稳我们的立场。
Unswervingly stand our ground.
怎么做到呢？
And how do we do that?
就是靠神的怜悯。
By God's mercy.
如果神觉得我是适合被承受这个苦难。
If God sees fit for me to have affliction,
他会给我恩典来承受。
He is going to give me grace to withstand.
不然的话，他会让我脱离这个苦难。
Otherwise, He will relieve me from that affliction.
可是无论如何，我已经有了耶稣基督的印记，羔羊的印记。
But in either way, we are sealed by God, by Jesus Christ, the Lamb.
所以我是有他的保护。
And we have His protection.
有他的保护并不意味着不会有苦难。
But His protection doesn't mean that we won't have ordeals.
最后，我们怎么知道我们是得胜者呢？
And last, how do we know we are conquerors?
我们知道我们是得胜者当我们可以向别人分享神的怜悯。
We're conquerors when we can share God's mercy with others.
因为唯有那些已经被神的怜悯改变的人他们才能够真正的表达出神的怜悯与别人分享神的怜悯。
Only those who have received God's mercy can show God's mercy with others.
首先就是他可以别人得罪他可以饶恕别人。
When he was wronged by others, he has that capacity to forgive.
即便那些是不配得到他的怜悯他的饶恕的人他也可以饶恕。
Forgive even those who don't deserve it.
最后就是爱神爱慕神的话。
Last portion, we're going to look at loving God's words.
所以我们已经思考了有关神的怜悯。
Now we have considered God's mercy.
然后这个怜悯怎么样的在我们面对苦难的时候来托住我们。
And how that mercy sustains us in the face of adversity.
现在我们已经到这个地步就是我们这些领受怜悯的人我们可以表达出我们对神的话语的爱慕。
And now those who we have received mercy, we can express delight in God.
因为唯有借着神的话语，我们可以深深的去体会到神的怜悯。
Only through His own word, we can experience His mercy.
就是在我们还没有去经历的时候，我们是借着神的话语来理解到。
So that's understanding from His word, even before we experience it.
所以155节这样说。
So Psalm 119:155-158.
救恩远离恶人，因为他们不寻求你的律例。我要我看见奸恶的人就生憎恶，因为他们不遵守你的话。
Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. I behold the treasurers and love them. because they do not keep your word.
所以首先诗人所提到的就是这些恶人。
So the psalmist mentioned these adversities.
他们不寻求神的话。
And they do not seek God's word.
所以救恩是远离他们。
Therefore salvation is far from them.
因为救恩只有在神的话语里面我们可以寻找到。
Because salvation can only be found in God's statutes.
而神的话语是指向耶稣。
And his statute, his word points to Jesus.
所以如果他们没有寻求神的话，那么他们就会不会找到救恩。
So if they do not see God's word, they would not see salvation.
然后接下来他所指的就是那些不守信的人。
And next, he describes those who don't have faith.
因为他们这些不守信的人faithless。不守信的人他们不去遵守神的话。
Because those faithful people, they do not trust God's word.
所以他憎恶他们。
Therefore, they are treacherous.
就好像我们憎恶那些言而无信的人一样。
And just like we don't like those who do not have good credit.
在表面上看来好像这个诗人他是一个自以为意的人。
So on the surface, it seems like the psalmist is a self-righteous person.
他觉得自己是高人一等的。
He is like a holier than others person.
可是当我们在还没有论断他之前
，But before we made that conclusion,
我们看接下来第159节他怎么说。
We look at 119 and 159, what it says.
他说：“你看见我怎样爱你的圣慈，耶和华，求你照你的慈爱将我救活。
”Consider how I love your precepts, revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness.
这时候这是一个很好的时机，我们可以稍微停一停来思考一下。
This is a good verse for us to take a pause and think about it.
我们对神的话语的爱慕。
Think about our love for God's word.
我们很容易可以挑选神的话语，就是那些我们所喜欢的。
It's easy for us to pick and choose those verses, especially those we like.
我们很容易爱慕那些神的应许啊，神的祝福啊。
We love His promises, His blessings.
可是对神的命令、神的警戒这些比较难接受。
But when it comes to His command, His warning, it's harder for us to accept.
特别是那些很严厉的一些警告，我们很难下咽。
Especially those stern, very strict warnings.
所以我。不过我们还是觉得我们比那些完全不接受人神的话语的人还要好一些些。
And don't we all think that we are a little bit better than those that who do not accept God's word?
可是雅各书第二章第十节提醒我们。
But James chapter 2 verse 10 reminds us.
因为凡遵守全律法的只在一条上跌倒，他就是犯了众条。
For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all.
我要说的是有时候我们认为我们可以遵守神话语的一部分，我们就沾沾自喜。
Sometimes we would gloat over others just because we can obey, follow God's certain command.
事实上，我们更应该承认我们不能够或者是没有能力去完全的遵守神的话。
But in reality, we need to realize that we cannot fulfill all His requirements.
以至于我们求他的帮助，求他的怜悯。
And that's what leads us to repentance and seeking for His help.
这就是诗人下一句话所指的。
And that's what the psalmist says next.
求你照你的慈爱将我救活。
Save me according to your loving kindness.
这是诗人第三次求神将他救活。
This is the third time the psalmist asked for God's mercy.
因为他不能够遵守神的律法的时候，他就把自己当作是死的。
Because when he can't follow God's command, he redeems him. He sees himself as dead.
因为当神使他活过来，借着神的灵使他活过来，他才能够去爱慕、去遵守神的话。
He can only obey God's law when God revives him.
所以这句话听起来，我们听起来可能觉得很苛刻。
We can think of it as very strict.
可是我们当中有些人呢，可能对神的话语根本不加以理会。
But some of us who don't even invest time in God's word.
包括当中有一些基督徒在内。
And even, including Christians.
所以难怪我们作为基督徒。
So as Christians.
就是这些基督徒呢，他们就是很靠近死亡那样。
And those are the Christians that are close to death.
就是好像启示录里面说的，对耶稣对撒迪教会说的，你们就快要死了。
And that's in Revelation, God says to one church, you are
Sardis,
you are dying.
因为他们 不知道他们作为基督徒当做些什么。
Because they don't know their responsibilities as Christians.
或者是作为基督徒不应该做些什么。
Or as Christians, they are not supposed to do certain things.
从另一方面来说呢
？But on the other hand,
还有一些不守信的一些基督徒。
There are faithless Christians.
因为他们虽然可能对神的话语一部分或者是全部有熟悉的话
，They may know the word of God.In partially or in totality.
可是他们并不爱慕这些话，或者是没有这个意愿去遵守这些话。
They don't love God's word or have the desire to follow God's word.
所以不只是诗人，连神也是对他们憎恶。
So not just the psalmist, God detests those people.
我的祷告就是让我们都成为第三种的基督徒。
So our prayer is for us to become the third kind of Christian.
就是我们尊重神的话语，爱慕神的话语。
We love God's word and we respect His word.
所以我们的祷告，我们持续的祷告，就是求神给我们生命，将我们救活，让我们去遵守神的话。
We pray continually for His life given to us so that we can obey His word.
因为160节说，神的话总纲是真实，你一切公义的典章是永远长存。
Verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting.
我有一个做牧师的朋友
，So I have a pastor friend.
他曾经一度经历一个很大的压力，而且所以一直对生命、生活、对事工都失去乐趣。
So one time he experienced a great tribulation and from that he lost all his motivation.
虽然不至于想到要去自杀，可是就是说每一天所走的每一步都是那么的沉重。
It was difficult, of course, he wouldn't take his own life, but it was very difficult.
在这段时间呢，就只有对神的话语的爱慕，还有在这个神的话语的事工上的喜乐。才让他可以度过。
So in that difficult time, only the love for God's word can sustain him.
今天有许多基督徒，他们也对生活失去了那种一般的喜乐。
So today there are Christians who lost the desire, the delight in God.
甚至特别的对他们的工作的乐趣，工作的乐趣。
And especially maybe they have lost the passion for their work.
刚才我们有提到，如果牧师呢，一个牧师呢。对神的话语没有爱慕的话，那他的事工只是一个职业。
Just like a pastor, I just mentioned, if a pastor lost passion for God's word, he only treats his occupation as a job.
所以，唯有那种爱慕神的话语、爱慕的心，他才能够全身的投入。
Only when he has the love for God's word, he can devote himself.
所以很多基督徒在上班的时候，他们就是想在工作上、在世界上的事来找到乐趣。
So when Christians, a lot of Christians go to work, they desire to find joy from their work.
因为对他们来说，工作生活所意味着的就是名誉，或者是别人的接纳，或者是地上的一些繁荣、荣华富贵。
Because for them, job is something that they can gain reputation, gain the praise of others.
所以因为这样呢，他们一生，他们的生命都是被这些东西紧紧的绑住。
As a result, their life is tied to those things.
他们需要释放。
They need deliverance.
就是借着神的话语。
Especially through God's word.
借着那位道成肉身的话语。
Through the word became flesh.
然后在这些他找到喜乐
and from that they find joy.
在耶稣的身上在神的话语的身上找到喜乐
find joy from Jesus and from his word.
所以在他一生他的生活是为主而活他的工作也是为神的荣耀而做
So if they live for Jesus, their life is centered around Jesus.
所以生活和工作不再是一种捆绑和奴隶
Their life, their jobwill no longer be something that enslaves them.
不再是重担，而是一个喜乐。
Those jobs and life wouldn't be a burden, but a joy.
因为这就是神给我们的怜悯。
Because that's the mercy of God.
让我们不再受地上的事的捆绑。
We would not bow by the things of this world.
我们同祷告。
Let's pray together.
天父，我们感谢你。
Heavenly Father, we thank you.
感谢你的话语释放了我们。
Thank you for your word that relieves us.
耶稣基督就是道成肉身的话语。
Jesus Christ is the word became flesh.
使我们不再受世上的事的捆绑。
Therefore, we would not be bound by the things of this world.
所以耶稣基督的到来是你的怜悯。
So the arrival of Jesus Christ is your mercy.
所以耶稣基督的到来就是带给我们喜乐。
The arrival of Jesus is our joy.
我们感谢你，让我们可以得到这份喜乐。
Father, we thank you for this joy.
奉耶稣基督的名祷告。
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.